What an anthem in our worship today. What a declaration of faith today. I just love that word. I have this hope in the flood and the fire, in the good times or the bad. You're my anchor. You're the one. So let's just lift up our hearts to the Lord today. Just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for His blessings on your life. Thank Him for that difficult situation that you just came out of, or maybe that you're still in the midst of. Because no matter if it's the flood or the fire, He is with you.
Yes.
And He still makes the way. Lord, I just thank You that You are God of the suddenlies, and that the surprise that the world tries to throw on us, that You always trumpet with Your surprise, the surprise of Your presence, showing Yourself strong on behalf of Your people. Teach us Your ways. Teach us Your ways. Let us rightly represent You. And Father, just baptize us afresh this morning with joy. The joy that's in the journey of walking with You, of seeing Your hand go forth strong on behalf of those that love You, of calling us Your people, Your sons and daughters. We are blessed. We are blessed beyond words. So we just thank You today. You got a word?
We have prayer for Sherry.
Who?
Sherry.
Oh, okay. Come on, Sherry. What are we praying? Can we gather around her, please? Go right ahead. Thank You, Lord. Does this work? Hey, I'm doing this with Nick.
Test.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We just anoint You in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, oh, oh. Kuya masanda rakata tade ya tide di omo konda rata rasite. Kuya sakata ramata de te te yonto romo konto rata de asite. Kuya sete te yantai. Oh, kuya matara de ria seke de yantai.
Sherry, I just keep hearing over and over and over, receive. Receive. I'm here. Everything that you need, I'm giving it to you. It's like hung out on a clothesline before you, and you just need to take, receive, just receive, just receive His blessing, just receive His healing. Oh yes, receive His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace. Receive His peace. His peace, His peace,
yes,
His peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Receive my peace, receive my peace, receive my peace. In the name of Jesus, I command the stress, anxiety, and fear to go, and I speak peace to the heart, both hearts, the physical heart and the heart of her spirit, of her soul. Father, right now, I command the blood pressure to normalize and stay that way in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive from me. Receive from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
I saw a picture. This is silly, but I do silly things. I saw a picture, you know, that thing you get at the fair when you put your fingers in it and you try to pull it, you can't pull it out because the more pressure you put on it, the tighter it grabs. And the only way you can get out of it is relief. It's just relaxing it, and then it comes off. And the other thing I saw was actually happened at my house. Nancy put the little things that what do you call those things? Necklaces. She has a couple that I've given her, and we had to put them in a little pouch or something for some reason. And they got all tangled up. I mean, it was like knotted. It was just like, how can such a small child get that knotted? You know? And so we just sat there. We were like two doctors with our glasses on with this little small. And she was just picking it up. And I just see the Lord just unknotting things, you know, in your life. And he's doing it gently. It's not going to be like, you know, open you up, rip out your appendix or anything. But he's doing it gently. And the reason why is because he's going to prove his love to you. That's what I heard. Prove his love to you. And I don't know what that means. I mean, oftentimes in my mind, oh, it means it's going to go my way. It's going to go his way. But it's going to be like, ooh, wow. And I just bless you with that. I bless you with his presence. And I bless you with, I just bless you with that. You're going to get unraveled. Yes, Dan's got another word.
I just want to say, Sherry, lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus and crawl into his lap. Let yourself see you crying out, Abba, Father, and crawl into his lap. Let all of those burdens, all the things that you take care of, let the others start growing up and taking care. Because Jesus takes care of them too. And you can't forget that. Put them at his feet.
Hallelujah. 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 Anything else? Huh? All right. Well, as we're hugging up here, the rest of you get up and go get a cup of coffee, an apple slice or a pineapple slice. Or a piece of bread. You got testimony? Okay, we'll do that after the fellowship. I've heard a little bit about it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool stuff. It's worth bragging on God for. I can do that. I can do that. I'm with you, girl. Glory to God. No one went excited about giving. Yeah. John Paul's excited. Hallelujah. I went to visit a black church one time, and I was pretty much the only white guy there. And when they came to the offering, they all got up and went crazy, going yeah. And then they counted the offering up front, and it wasn't enough. She said, "No, pass it again." I think they passed it three times. Finally, she said, "I don't want no more George Washington's. Give me some of them Lincolns." It's kind of like, okay, whatever. All right. Anybody? I think everybody's given. You need a. No, you're good. Anybody need an envelope for cash? I think everybody's giving checks. Amen. Mike's writing his. Let me wait. Look at that signature. That signature right there and $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. So. All right, let's pray. Earl, you want to do it? Now get over here, get out of the way. I'm not going to stand in front of that again.
All right. Our confession of faith as we give. Father God, as we come to the point of the service that we pay our tithes and bring our offerings before you, we confess that you are the only God. You are our salvation and our reason for being. You are the Alpha and Omega, our healer, our provider,
our everlasting victory. Yeah.
We bring our tithes and offerings with a joyful, willing, obedient heart,
fully expecting you to throw open the windows of heaven and to pour out a spiritual and financial blessing so great we could scarcely be able to contain it.
We thank you that as we give, it will be given into our bosoms, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We ask that you grant us wisdom to use these funds effectively to minister to our community, winning souls and making disciples, and ever expanding the kingdom of God from Lake City, Live Oak, White Springs, Fort White, Lulu, and Florida, unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Hallelujah! I added. of God in there.
I think I'm going to put that in there anyway.
It kind of flows pretty good there. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to put some motions with that prayer, you know. Running over. Amen. Annette has a testimony about her son. And see if I can turn that on. There you go, Miss Annette.
It's just never enough when you have been told that your son has cancer. And he didn't want me to go on the internet and make a big splash about it. That was so hard. And you just have no idea. So I did, you know, message some people. And we started praying. And then last week I went down to be with him. And they took out a part of his colon. And then he was home on, I think it was Monday. That is such a God thing to me. And when I prayed for him, you know, you want to cry and you want to just scream. But, you know, the way that he had spoke to me, I just was like, Lord, I trust you. And I just put him in your hands. And I declare victory over him.
Yeah.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you and I have victory in all things, in the fire, in the flood. You and I have victory. And we've got to start living that. And so I put that word into motion. And then this weekend, for those of you that don't know, it was stage one cancer, and it is gone.
Woohoo!
Gone. And I just want, you know, I just want to declare the word of God and how great and mighty and awesome. And help me with some of the things. Abba Father, we have the right to call him Abba Father. And he is my Abba Father. He is my son's Abba Father. He's all of us. Abba Father.
Amen. Thank you, Annette. Amen. That's worth shouting over. Glory to God. Oh, you can do it, girl. Praise the Lord. Get that thing turned off. There it goes. You have to learn how to hold your mouth just right. Amen. Everybody's looking good. Special shout out for all the fellas that were able to go over and help the Markhams this week, yesterday. So it's looking good. Y'all's work was so good, they were able to go up $100,000 on the price. That was a joke. So anyhow, you still getting nibbles on that thing, or what's going on with your house? Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. The will of the Lord be done. It's going to happen. Yeah.
Is there any, just say out loud, if there's any chance that somebody wants to donate some of their time through the week, contact me, see what we can do. Just a couple more visits of love, just a couple more hours of love, and we can have Toby and Jeannie's place to where they want it.
Sweet, sweet. Contact Mike. I forgot your telephone. 386-365-4086. 4086. Or message Annette. And y'all can do that. So praise the Lord. Update on my family. Nancy had a procedure at the hospital Thursday. And she has a little bit of blood in her urine. And it's been going on for years. And so we've done these procedures. This is the second time around. And he said he couldn't find anything. So obviously there's something still going on there. I think she's going to be referred to a nephrologist in the future. Not real sure. But it's kind of like after the procedure. This is the second time she's had that cystoscope thing. So I asked for my money back. Because he didn't find anything. I think medicine should be that well. You don't find anything, you don't get charged for it. Anybody with me on that? All right. So, hallelujah. I'm with him. But anyhow, she's doing good, and we fully expect her to recover. Didn't find any blood when he went in there the last time. So, not real sure what all that is. I personally think that the vessels in her bladder are so close to the surface, it seeps. And of course, that's a no-brainer. Just let it see. We've already gone. She's going to be doing good, so we appreciate that. This week, I'm going to be, I was invited to go over to the Liberty Network International Conference, and they wanted me to go over there and share about what's going on in Cuba and to help formulate an idea of how to plant churches there. I don't have the money to go, so I told the guy, I don't have the money to go. God bless you. I wish you all the best. And then he sent me all the money to go. So I couldn't say no. So the first part of the week, I'm going over there for several days and brainstorm with them. And then we'll be coming back on Wednesday late, wash clothes, and then leave Thursday morning to drive down to Tampa, fly out Friday. I'll be a week in Cuba, be back June the 30th. So please be in prayer about that. I've got some things that I felt like the Lord wants me to do as far as making some new connections or new emphasis with the connections that I do have. I am very interested in helping them train their leaders and then also plant churches. The network that I work with down there, Evangelical Network of Cuba, is already very active in planting churches. In fact, what I'm going to say to this group this week is, while we invent the wheel, why don't we get behind, you know, what the indigenous people are doing there. Not sure how that's going to be received, but I will suggest it, and then we'll go from there. So got a lot of good stuff going on, and I'm excited about those opportunities that the Lord seems to be opening up. I trust that the Lord's been blessing you and that your time in His Word has been rich, and that you got a greater revelation this week of how good He is and how much He loves you. And I do appreciate you coming out. Happy Father's Day to everyone here today with fathers. If you can turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Today, for the remainder of the time, maybe for about 30 or 40 minutes, I want to talk to you about finishing strong. Finishing strong. It's imperative that we finish strong. I guess if you took just a few minutes to think about some lives of individuals maybe that are close to you or maybe some national leaders who started well, but they didn't finish strong. And how many of you know it's all about finishing? It's about finishing this what Paul calls this race. And so I want to encourage you today in that vein. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, well, I'll start in verse 6. He says, "For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Man, wouldn't you want that as, what do they call that on the tombstone? The epitaph? Did I say that word right? Okay. Did I say it right? Okay. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph for your tombstone? That, you know, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. And then he goes on to say, "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who love," he says, you know, "His appearing." Let's look at some other scriptures as it relates to finishing strong. If you want to, I wrote these out so I wouldn't have to turn to them. But feel free to turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 toward the latter part of Paul's life, which kind of lines up with his exhortation to Timothy and to those that read that letter. He says this in verse 24, "But none of these things moved me, nor did I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, if you want to, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before you." And on a little bit of the negative side, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said this in chapter 5 and verse 7. He said, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" So he says to the Galatians, you guys are, You're not going to finish well if you don't get it right, if you don't get your doctrine right, if you don't have your faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's so much that's powerful about this particular passage of Scripture. The definitions that I wrote down for finishing strong, you can write these down if you want to or just listening to them. Number one is to possess a mindset to perform through faith at an exceptional level. To possess a mindset to perform through faith at an exceptional level. Here's another one that I thought of. Exhibiting courage in the face of adversity. Anybody here understand what that means? I mean, in life, you have knocks, you get knocked down, you get thrown aside, you get cussed out. I mean, you know, I've been spit on a couple of times. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't because I was ugly. It was because of my love for God, which I just, you know, wiped it off. I did pretty good. I didn't hit him or anything. Anyhow, let's move on. A third one is refusing. I love this one. Refusing to accept mediocrity. There's nothing mediocre, that word, thank you, about our faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that fits into the category of mediocrity. And then the last one I wrote, it was this. It was a philosophy of living life with no regrets. A philosophy of living life with no regrets. Man, if we could just in our relationship with God allow the grace through faith to so impact our lives that we live a life with no regrets, that we have the courage to live at an exceptional level in the kingdom of God, which nowadays is just simply being called the normal Christian life, you know, walking in the power of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit being used to see souls saved and disciples made. And I guess we ought to put in there, it kind of catches people's attention. You know, when you go up and there's a word of knowledge or what oftentimes I call a download from the Spirit and you begin to share what you're getting, you know, it gets people's attention. I'm discipling one guy now where that happened. I shared a little bit last week and the week before. And it was kind of like, dude, you're freaking me out. You know, that's pretty cool when people say that to you. You hear testimonies like Chris Follerton and all these big dogs, you know. But you know what? It happens to us as well. See, it's the same Spirit that fills him that fills me. All right? And so it's a mindset. What's your mindset as it relates to finishing well? It's a mindset. There's a lot of quotes that I found on this, but most of you know that I like John Wesley. So listen to John Wesley. This to me encapsulates the concept of finishing well. He says this, do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the souls you can in every place you can at all the time you can with all the zeal you can as long as you. You want me to say it again? A lot of cans there, right? Let me say it again. I love John Wesley. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the time you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you can. It's like, I can. I love it. I can't remember, I talk so much, even though this summer I've kind of pared back a little bit. I'm no longer going to Valdosta during the summer. We're kind of rearranging some of our strategy, but I can't remember if I shared this story with you, but I know you've heard me say that retirement is an FDR idea, and you will not find retirement in Scripture. Our retirement is the grave. I think everybody knows that, all right? So there's, you know, and when I say that, I'm not suggesting that you work until you're 105, you know, in a physical job. But I am suggesting that, you know, I'm even touring around with starting a ministry in a couple of years, maybe 10 years from now, called Forever Young. Come on, you know, Forever Young. I would say the alternative that I didn't want to call it, but it's kind of crude. But anyhow, there was, as I think about, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I feel young. Matter of fact, I'm 18 on the inside. It just stopped. I stopped at 18. I don't know what the deal is on that. But anyhow, I actually know of two cases of a guy who did really good. And I'm all about having money. Don't get me wrong. He did really good. And they bought a condo on the beach, you know. And for the last 15 years of their life, you know what their life pretty much consisted of? They walked the beach and picked up she sails. And they had hundreds of pounds of seashells. Seashells. Okay, never mind. When they died, hundreds of pounds, if not thousands of pounds. Some of them were gorgeous. Some of them were, you know, just give away to the kids and all this stuff. And please, I guess I'm letting my flags fly here by this comparison. And these are not hypothetical. This I'm talking about a real couple that did this. And I would imagine that they did other Christian things. They maybe gave offerings to missionaries. That's a good thing, right? But they're limited. They were very limited in their personal involvement in the things of the kingdom of God. And then there was two widows near 80. They had both lost their husbands. And they decided to join a missionary group, moved to Africa, and was working with a bunch of orphans, traveling around. They were very instrumental in planting churches there with the established leadership. And that when those churches were established, they went in and helped start children's ministry. And from there, other orphanages were birthed, trained up the leaders to do all of that. And they were blowing and going. And so they were going home late one night, and the van that they were in, the brakes gave out. The line busted and they went off the cliff and they died going off the cliff. It's a true story. And so in my weird sense of humor or weird way of thinking, I see these two widows and this couple standing before God. And the couple reached down and picked up all these 100 pounds of seashells and said, "Look, this is for you." And the widow couple lift up the thousands of lives of children in ministry in their late years, and they offered it to God. Are you getting this? Let me ask you a question, all right? Who finished strong? So I'm not suggesting that you go to Africa and work with orphans. I'm not. But what I am suggesting is life is more than just a retirement. Life is about the kingdom of God. In fact, Nancy and I, if the Lord tarries, we've already made plans, man. We're thinking about going back into youth with a mission. Do whatever, you know, is available. Hopefully I can teach a little bit. Matter of fact, in line with that, I've already had people from my Youth with a Mission experience who was teaching schools and whatnot, and one of them wrote me the other day and said, "Would you pray about coming out here where we are and planting a church?" You know, it's kind of like, well, that might fit in 10, 12 years from now, maybe 15 years from now, whatever, you know, the case may be. But my point, guys, is this. Please finish strong. Now, I know life happens. I know that, you know, sickness occurs and things of that nature. There are certain things that are beyond, in a way, they're beyond us to deal with. I mean, if you're sick, you just have to pray in faith that you get better. Or if some other things happen to you, then obviously you can't quite reach the potential where you want to be. And frankly, for me, that's one of the reasons why I work out so much. I buffet my body, baby. I want to make sure I'm in shape, and that I think I told you guys I don't want to be 400 pounds and when I'm 75, eating fried chicken and talking about the good old days. I'm going to still be making my days, and I want to have the strength to go through with it if it lies within me to be able to do that. And so please hear my heart in this, that it's about finishing strong. It's about making sure that your life is so in touch with God's heart and that you're loyal to Him and you're loyal to... Age does not factor in into eternity. It doesn't factor in. It's only on this side of the Jordan that that factors in. Miss Ann... sweet Jesus, Miss Ann. I can't think of her last name because we always called her Miss Ann. She was 90 years old, and at 80 years of age, she had some health issues. But, instead of just laying down and not doing anything and saying, woe is me, you know what she started doing? Through prayer, she got a hold of a man's name and a woman's name that was in prison. And so she wrote them a letter. And they wrote back. And then she wrote another letter. And they wrote back. And then she started getting letters from strangers who were in prison, both men and women. And she started sending Bibles. She started sending devotional. When she went to heaven at age 95, there were thousands in prisons that she communicated with. All within the safety of her own home with her cup of coffee. And she started, you know what else she started doing? She started developing her own lesson plans. And she had these little booklets. 2 or 3 pages, salvation, fullness of the Holy Spirit, being right with God, baptized with the Spirit, your mission after you get out. I mean, she got recognized by the state officials of the Department of Corrections of the state of Georgia. Because she wanted to finish well. She finished well. We had a huge hoopla thing. I mean, her funeral was like revival, man. I mean, she had already preached it. And guess who was in the audience? Those prisoners, the ones that were out. They were all in the audience, and they stood up one by one giving testimony of what they called her Mama Ann, what Mama Ann meant to me, what Mama Ann meant to me. And Mama Ann at age 90 was probably doing more stuff as it relates to the heart of God than the 25-year-old and the 30-year-old has all the energy and all the strength as it relates to the kingdom of God. Man, it's kind of like, dude. I leaned over to one of my friends and said, dude, if the Lord lets me live that long, I want to be like Mama Ann. If I happen to get sick and I can't get out as much as I used to, I want to be like her. Finish strong. Today I want to look at an example of finishing strong. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, and 16. If someone could please get some pizza, because we're going to be here a while if I have to preach all 3 of those chapters. So, will you get me some water? You're a good man. 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16. Now, obviously, I can't read all 3 chapters, but this is about the life of Asa, King Asa, 14, 15, and 16. I guess I should turn there myself. And I think I've told you this before. Most of my sermons and sermon material comes out of my daily devotion with God. This year, I happen to be reading the Bible through chronologically. Sometimes I just read a Proverbs, a Psalms, an Old Testament, and a New Testament. But they have Bibles that you can read it chronologically, so you flow with it historically. And it's a good option, and I would suggest, it's not that much, maybe $10 or whatever. I would suggest that you get one and just factor that in every 2 or 3 years, or maybe 3 or 4 years as you read your Bible through. If you read it that way, you know that you'll read your Bible through every year. If you read Psalms, or Proverbs, the Old Testament, and the New Testament chapter. 4 chapters a day. So, anyhow, it's very doable. You can do it at night right before you go to bed. It reveals, if you look at these chapters, It reveals a lot of stuff about finishing strong. And I'm just going to give you some introductory comment. But finishing strong does not just happen. If you're going to finish strong in the faith, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional about your faith and your relationship with God. And whatever you understand your call of God is, and the gifts that God gets, there's gifts, there's a bunch of gifts, plural, one call. And that one call, if you'll allow me, really pretty much sums up, we all read it, it's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. That's our call, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Remember, it's all about people. And then Jesus put it at the end of his life. He said, hey, go and make disciples, you know, teaching them to obey all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Judah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. And so we have the mandate. It's not of, oh, I wonder what God wants me to do. He's already given the big plan. Now you just need to discern, how do I fit into that big plan? You know, how do you, what are your passions and your desires as it relates to fitting into that, to that big plan? There's all kind of ways of finishing strong and in making disciples. When our kids were young, we formed a co-op with a bunch of other crazy, in love moms and dads of Jesus. And we started our own school, you know, just started our own school and taught them about Jesus and taught them about math and history, and moms and dads from the co-op all filtered in and taught. And we had some crazy moms in teaching science. They'd stop, literally, I am not lying and making this up, they'd stop on the side of the road when there's a roadkill that wasn't completely messed up and pick it up, put it in the bag so they could take it back to their homeschool school and dissect it and learn about biology that way. It's kind of like, okay, I didn't see that one coming. You got a what? As long as it's not a dead skunk, I'm okay. You know, everything else is. But, you know, I'm talking about finishing strong. What was going on there? My mandate, my calling, you know, for those moms at that time is I'm raising up these kids to be powerful men and women of God. Now, their kids are grown and they have grown in their vision. They're doing other things, but it all goes back to that whole concept of making disciples. And so it has to be intentional. You don't just, you know, accidentally walk in the kingdom of God. You have to make a plan. You have to be loyal. You have to say to my soul, soul, we're going to go after God today. Paul puts it this way. I've been studying Romans. God help you whenever I get done with that. You're going to get about 100,000 sermons out of that one. But anyhow, by the way, in September, I'm going to be doing some stuff at night, but I haven't got it all down pat yet. But anyway, that's coming in September. You know, he says this, present yourselves to God. King James says this, yield yourself to God every day. And your members, now what are your members? My mind, my emotions, the way I think, my chooser, my will, you know, and this, good old flesh and blood here, present those things to the Lord as instruments of righteousness. And I have a sneaky suspicion, if we get in the habit of doing that and following through, you know what the end result's going to be? You're going to finish well. You're going to finish well. I'm going to finish well. And so we have this characteristic. So let's look. Intentionality has to do with the power of your daily choices. The power of your daily choices. I told you in a lot of counseling cases when I used to do a lot of counseling, over 90% of the problems was because people stopped reading their Bibles. They stopped having prayer time. They stopped having prayer time with their spouse. It's kind of like, what do you mean you don't pray with your spouse? Are you crazy? No wonder you're having problems. You know? They stopped pouring into their family. And so It's about your daily choices. All right, let's get into Asa's life. First of all, I told you wrong. You can go back and review Abijah's. It was his father. Now, I'm saying these names with such confidence. That doesn't mean that I'm pronouncing them right. But I've learned that if you just say it with confidence, everybody go, oh, I've been pronouncing that wrong, you know. A-B-I-J-A-H, Abijah. Abijah, if you look at his life, you see that he begins to set up. Now, Asa, that's his dad, right? And so this is right after Jerusalem. This is right after David. And Solomon's son, Rehoboam, didn't listen to the elders because of some issues that were going on with Solomon and forced labor. And so Jeroboam came in and said, hey, are you going to lighten up a little bit? Your father really, really put a load on us, you know. And actually what Solomon did outside of the sin of, you know, all these wives and stuff, he actually began to use the Jewish people as forced labor, which is against, you know, as you know, it was against the law of Moses. And so they were having this, they do all this work. And so Jeroboam went up and said, hey, are you going to lighten up a little bit? If you lighten up, we'll serve you. And so he listened to the young fellows. I'm giving you a synopsis here. Instead of the old wise guys said, listen to the people, lighten up on them, and they'll serve you forever. And the young guy said, nah, double down on it, you know. So he said, basically, my baby finger is thicker than my father's waist, you know. And so that's what we call it, the split. That's when Israel split. And it was prophesied. And so you got all 11 tribes versus Judah and Benjamin. All right. And so that Abijah was the king, Rehoboam's son, and he was the king. And so... the king of Israel comes out and said, we're going to clean your clocks. And so in that process, Abijah, he stood before them, and you can read it there, but in chapter 13 from the verse 4, you know, following, he stands up and he recounts the history of loving God and doing it God's way. And he said, listen, we've raised up the correct priests, and we're following the priestly order, and you've got all this false stuff that's going on. And I want you to notice something. If you read the chapter, they were outnumbered, doubled, 400,000 to 800,000. Now, any general would know, we need to come up with a plan here. I mean, 2-1. You're bound to lose at 2-1, you know. New Testament talks about when you go out to make war, and you evaluate what's going on, if they got more than you and you can't do it, go out and ask for terms of peace. Or if you're going to build a building or a tower, go out and assess it and see if you've got the goods to do it. If not, don't do it. And so, you know, he goes out and he says this, and I want you to notice something. He says that Jeroboam, while he was talking, all right, here's the deal. Jeroboam divided his men and surrounded Abijah and Judah and Benjamin, 800,000 men, 400 in the front, 400 in the back. Somebody said, that's not good. That's not good. And so when he realizes it, look at here. And when Judah, verse 14, and when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. Mark it. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a great shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all of Israel before Abijah and Judah. Now, why do I say that? Because I'm talking about Asa. I said it because of this. Guess who was watching all this as a kid? His son, Asa, was watching all this as a kid. He saw God rout the enemy, which unfortunately was their blood kin. And so my point is this. If you're going to finish well, it's this. Your surroundings count. Who you surround yourself with counts. If you want to be wise, who do you hang out with? Wise. If you want to be stupid, who do you hang out with? course, we have none of those here, all right? But you hang out with people that are not as wise, if we put it smart, redemptively. Abijah, you know, he modeled the power for Asa of calling out to God. Because if we get there today, which I probably won't, you'll see that he did the same thing in the exact same situation. Who are you surrounding yourself with? If you surround yourself with mediocre people, guess what you're going to become? Guess how you begin to think? I was telling the guys out front when we were out there kind of greeting people, even though we kept the door shut today because it was kind of hot. But anyhow, one of the ways that I can sit in the chair and just bless myself. I get to laughing at it because I'll sit there and start reminiscing. You know, I was in school and my wife was in school. That's crazy. You know what per credit hour my PhD classes cost? $803 per credit hour. And the courses were 3 credit hours per course. And I had to take 3 every semester. I mean, in the natural, you're scratching your head going, you're crazy. Are you crazy? And then my wife comes in and says, I think I'm supposed to go to school. And instead of having good sense, I went, yes. Yeah. How are we going to pay for it? I ain't got a clue. But you know, as of today, guess how much money we owe on our education? Anybody want to guess? Say it again. Zero. A little bit louder.
Zero.
There it is right there. Zero. What should have took us 15 years to pay off, we did in 2.5. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the pattern for everybody. But one of the reasons we thought that way is because over time we surrounded ourselves with crazy people that loved God and pretty much believed anything. And it started off in Youth with a Mission. God said, put a Bible in every home in Mexico. Yeah! That was our response. Like, go fill up the bus. We got to go. There was none of this. How are we going to pay for all this? That wasn't in our thinking. It was that, yeah. And guess what happened? We did. It took us 5 years, but we did it. Crazy stuff. Why? Because we surrounded ourselves with people. You know, there's a thing in leadership, and I'm not going to knock this. This is all free. You're getting good stuff here today. There's this thing about leadership that people say, well, be sure and don't surround yourself with just yes men. Well, you know, there's a place in your life you need people around you that say, you can do this. How are we going to pay? I don't know that, but you can do this. Why would you say that? Because I sense the anointing of God in you and the call of God in you, and you can do this. Now, I know there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, and I'm not downplaying that. But if you get counselors around you that are reserved, and hear me, only think naturally, you're not going to finish strong. You might not even finish at all. You might, in the scripture, there is a term in scripture called a reprobate. That was even my phone agrees with me. They were outnumbered. But their hearts, if you look at verse 12, 11 and 12, let's look there real quickly. I'm in verse 13. He says, but they burned. He's talking about the priest of Judah. It says, but they burned to the Lord every morning and every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. And they also set the showbread in order on the pure gold tablets and the lampstand of gold with the lamps to burn every evening. For we are commanded of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. But look, now look, God himself is with us as our head. His priest with sounding trumpets and to sound the alarm against you. The children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord your God of their fathers, for you shall not prosper. He's telling the army of Israel that's 800,000 strong to their only 400,000. And when he realized, I don't know if you'll follow the thought process here, but when he realized he was surrounded, that he had set an ambush, he did the very thing that he said that they did. The priests threw up the trumpets, they sounded the alarm of God's goodness and mercy, and then they stood there, and then God came down. And the scripture says that God routed them. And then they kind of just went behind God picking up the spoils. If you're going to finish well, you got to your surroundings count. Let me say that again. If we are going to finish well, our surroundings count. Let me ask you a question. If God says a word to a body of believers and nobody in that body obeys that word with all the great reasonings and wherefores and therebys and furthermores, and neverthelesses, and but, are you going to still obey God? I mean, it's a hard question, but sometimes in finishing well, it starts with you. And we'll see that in just a minute, what happens. Well, not today, but maybe next week. Number two, follow your convictions. Follow your convictions. If you're looking, now we're in chapter 14. If you'll look in chapter 14, if you'll look from verses 1 through 6, I want you to notice something here. The scripture doesn't tell us, so you have to read before and after to try to get... pick up what's going on there. His father dies, and Asa is made king. And then he steps in here, and what he does, listen to what he does. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, and then it begins to list it in verse 3. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. And he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. And the kingdom, it says, was quiet under him. Where did he pick that up? There was something about what his father did. And I'm sure he taught. But how many of you know when it comes to kids, they learn by looking more so than by the words that come out of your mouth. I am convinced, even though he may not have been at the battle, when they got home, don't you love family reunion? I used to love family reunion. I was looking at a picture of my granddaddy today. And my aunt, my uncles, and my aunts. And I remember going to, I was a strange kid. All the other kids were outside playing hide and seek, and they had these China bear trees that you could cut and haul it out and pop each other with China bears. I didn't do that. Where I was, I'd get in there, and I would always sit down in front of all these adults, and I'd wait for them to tell stories. And I am so glad that I did. Because number one, I learned a lot about my dad. He was a rascal growing up. And the apple didn't fall too far from the tree either. I'm telling you, you know. But I also remember their hardships and how they got through it. I remember them going from a one mule family to a two mule family. And my daddy said, we thought we were rich. We were a two mule farm instead of a one mule. I remember him telling me about the German soldiers in World War II that were captured. And they were all in the United States. And about a dozen of them coming to his farm. My daddy was the caretaker at that time. And them working the fields. And how happy those German soldiers were. You know why? Because they got three square meals. And they were treated well. They didn't want to go back to Germany. Some of them didn't. I remember those stories. And I picked up my daddy's convictions, not so much by what he said to me, but what he lived, how he lived. And I'm of the opinion, now this is extra biblical, all right, because it's not in the text, but people are people no matter what age, that when they came home, do you think after that rout and seeing God miraculously show up and rout the enemy, do you think they all came home and went, we haven't mashed potatoes tonight? What's for dinner? You know what they did? I tell you what they did. They danced. They talked about the... You remember when... And the reason why I do this is because you remember after they crossed the Red Sea on the dry land? What did old Miriam do? She made a little song out of it, you know? Hell sent riders thrown into the sea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't swim like we can. Oh, but, you know, I'm taking liberty with the text there. But see, what they did, they made songs about it. They talked about it. And so there was something in Asa that was passed on. And he began to say, I'm going to live by these convictions of being in love with God and living for God just like my father. And so he did you read what he did? He cleaned house, son. In a little bit, we can't talk about it today, he even deposed his own mama. Because she had I think it was an Asherah pole or something of that nature. He went in there, burned that sucker, and kicked her out. His own mama. You see, in America today, we wouldn't do that. It's a different mindset. He wanted to finish well. I won't go there. I kind of showed my hand a little bit there, but we'll. Can I give you one more point? Okay, I had one person to say yes. Follow through with your convictions. I want you to notice here. I haven't finished here. Look what happened. What verse is that? I don't know. Look at it. No. Yeah, and it says afterwards, he said in verse 7, he said, therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them, because he'd taken back all these cities, and the towers and the gates and the bars, and while the land is before us, because we have what? Sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. And they built and prospered. They built and prospered. There's one thing about this word. Now listen, I'm talking about following through with your convictions. The point of what I'm getting at is not only did he learn from his father, but once he got that and he dealt with all the idolatry in the land, you know, you could have probably said, hey, I've done enough. This is pretty cool. God will be pleased with me. But he didn't stop there. He said, let's build up this land. Let's do this. There's more that God has for me. That's the point that I'm trying to get across. If you're going to finish well, you never stop. Listen, the word there, sought, basically means to tread or to frequent. It means to follow through, get this, by pursuing and searching. The whole concept is one of worship. I'm going to pursue him. The other aspects is seeking and asking. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to let my worship begin to define how I live before him. And so as he's worshiping God, have you ever noticed when you're right with God, things get bigger? And listen, let me make... if things are retracting in your life, you may not finish well. But if things are getting bigger and bigger and growing and growing, and you're moving out on those things, and you're trying to do what you see that's before you. You know, there's a part of me, one of the reasons why I'm praying about Cuba right now is because I know there's so much more. I know it. And I'm getting so bodacious in my attitude. I was telling the guys, you know, one of the things, I'm going to be rubbing shoulders with what I call the bourgeoisie, you know, the really big dog people. I'm going to be rubbing shoulders with it. I've already made up my mind. I'm just going to tell them what I think. You guys think you're going to Cuba and you're going to plant churches? Let me tell you what they're doing down there right now. I'm rubbing shoulders with people down there that already planted 12 the year before and 9 last year. Why reinvent the wheel? Get on with these local guys and see what you can do with them. We'll see how well that, I'll report back to you how well that's going to be received. But the other thing is that it says he prospered. And I love this Hebrew word. You know what it means in the Hebrew? It means to push forward and to break out. I want to tell you that you want to finish well? You need to be looking at stuff in your life right now where you can say, I'm pushing in this area. I'm pushing. Now, you can see it in your prayers. You're praying bodacious prayers. You're praying, you know, one of the greatest prayers is, God, do something. Here's another crazy prayer. You don't do something, I'm going to do something. And I'm crazy enough to believe God honors that. Because sometimes he's just waiting to see if you're going to step out in faith. And when I say I'm going to do something, I don't mean in the flesh or just because I want to make something up. It's going to follow in line with the things that's in my heart and what I'm doing. Because you see, there's this whole concept. If you want to finish well, you better be pushing it. How did they finish the when they run? Have you noticed those guys when they're running? I mean, they'd be done run what? A mile, 2 miles, and when they get to the last 220, you know what do? They pick up the pace. You know what they do? They give it everything that's in them, and right at the finish line, they lunge. I've seen a couple of them lunge so hard they trip and fall through, you know. And some of them catch their back. You know why? Because they're pushing in. Are you beginning to catch this whole concept that finishing well is not a theological idea? It's a lifestyle. A prospering. You must be intentional. And let me, with this, I'm not going to go to another point. I'm on my second one here. If you're going to finish well, please put this in your noggin so that you're not surprised. Expect pushback. Expect pushback. Now, I wish I could say it's all going to be from the devil. But my 20-something years of experience is that oftentimes it's from God's own people. I guess they're God's people. I don't know. I've kind of go, well, that's yours. I'm not touching that, you know. Well, if I'm having a good day, that's what I do. If I'm having a bad day, I pray for them, and sometimes those prayers are not real good. But anyhow, we won't go there. You got to expect pushback. Let me give you some pushbacks. Ready? Intimidation. Who do you think you are? Anybody here besides me has had that thrown at them? Who do you think you are? That was my response a number of years ago. You know what my response is now? I'm a son of the living God. Who are you? The latter is much better for my soul. Intimidation. Another one, which is a higher level, is fear. Of course, the scripture for that is what? perfect love. 1 John what? What is it? 4:17? I can't remember. Casts out what? It casts out all fear. Another pushback is natural thinking. They'll give you all the reasons in the world why it's not going to work or why it shouldn't work or why you're not the one to do it. And I'm going to end with this. You also get pushback from relationships. And I'm going to say this as gingerly and as redemptively as I can. And then I'm going to pray for you. If you intend to finish well, there may be some relationships that you need to cut. Now, when I use the word cut, I'm not talking about being ugly and rude, cussing them out, or any, they're still acquaintances, you're still nice to them, but you realize where you're going, they either won't go or they can't go. Am I preaching to the right people here? Is this making sense to you, right? I'm talking about finishing strong. Finishing strong. Paul said, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. I'm going to finish well. And there's this crown laid up for me in heaven. So do you want to, like the two widows, present thousands of kids that's come into the kingdom and orphanages and future leaders in the body of Christ? Or do you want to lift up a couple of thousand seashells and say, look what I got for you? Now, I'm not saying the couple didn't go to heaven. Honestly, I don't know. I just know the scripture, Jesus said, you do business until I come. Are you on track to finish well? Are you on track to finish strong? I've got four other points that I want to give you maybe next week. No, I'll be in Cuba. I'll give it when I get back, the 1st of July. Are you on track to finish well? Is there possibly some relationships that you need to keep at arm's length because they're really not speaking life into you? They're speaking natural things into you. Are you encouraging others to go after what God's put in their hearts to do? Do you live by faith through grace, or do you live by natural thinking? I have finished the course. I have fought the fight of faith. I'm finishing strong. It's the journey that counts. And I thank God for all your victories. But you cannot live in your past victories. You've got to keep pushing into what God's called you to do. All right, let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. I don't know where you are. I can only tell you where I am. And you know, every now and then, I just need to be shook. You know, it's like the old black lady told me one time, son, you need to shake yourself. You know, sometimes we just need a good shaking.
by the Holy Ghost to get the cobwebs out and let all those wrong ways of thinking get us focused back in on faith and on God's love and goodness and mercy. Could you just lift your hands in a receiving position? Lord, with everything that's going on today, all kind of stuff, I just release faith for more. I release that pushing in and breaking out. I release faith in the heart of your people and in my heart. You have been good to us. Truthfully, you have been exceptionally good to us. We want to be a people that finish strong. We want to finish strong. Thank you for all the failures. Thank you for all the successes. We've learned from both of them. But Lord, we want to push in and break out for what you're doing in the earth today, so we can join you and partner with you. There's so much more from Asa's life, Lord. But help us to be sure today that we're surrounding ourselves with people who believe in you and your goodness and in your kingdom, who will encourage us to move on. Help us to take those things and act out those godly convictions that you placed within us. We're seeing it even now, Lord. Even in the public media, I just saw it this past week. Help us to take those things and to right the atrocities that are affecting the lives of so many people, both saved and unsaved. And we just thank you for that. I pray right now for courage, that when the pushback comes, that our pushback will be greater than the world's pushback. That, Lord, I know we're going to look at it in just the next couple of weeks when I get back. We're going to look at it, Lord, where it talks about how you are looking to show yourself strong for those whose heart is completely yours. And so, God, I pray today that you would just reach in and take out any of those things that cause us, that might cause us not to finish well. Fear, intimidation, wrong relationships, Lord, whatever it may be. And we just receive your grace right now for more. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Hug somebody before you leave. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.